One of the most poignant pictures of Jesus in the New Testament is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. It shows Jesus' compassion for a man suffering from leprosy, Jesus' compassion for those who are helpless and hopeless. In Mark 1, Mark in his gospel presents Jesus' credentials as the Son of God, seen in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the ministry of John the Baptist, the approval of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism, victory over Satan in temptation, the authority of Jesus seen in his calling his disciples, the authority and power of Jesus seen in his teaching of the Word of God, his power and authority seen in his healing disease, his power and authority seen in casting out demons. And now in verses 40 to 45 of Mark chapter 1, we see his power over leprosy. Laws concerning leprosy are found in Leviticus 13 and 14. Leviticus 13 names seven forms of the disease, including a variety of skin diseases from psoriasis to ringworm to true leprosy, which is a progressively disfiguring disease. In the words and works of Jesus Christ by J. Dwight Pentecost, he cites Geike, who describes this terrible disease. He says this, a disease at all times terrible, but aggravated in the opinion of that day by the belief that it was a direct stroke of God as a punishment for special sins. It began with little specks on the eyelids and on the hands, palms of the hand, and gradually spread over different parts of the body, bleaching the hair white wherever it showed itself, crusting the affected parts with shining scales, and causes swellings and sores. From the skin it slowly ate its way through the tissues to the bones and joints and even to the marrow, rotting the whole body piecemeal, the lungs, the organs of speech and hearing, and the eyes were attacked in turn, till at last consumption or dropsy brought welcome death. The rabbis regarded leprosy as humanly incurable. There are only two Old Testament incidences of curing leprosy, that of Miriam in Numbers 12 and Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Leprosy brought anguish at all levels, physically, mentally, socially, and religiously. Leprosy was repulsive and resulted in physical and social isolation. The Jews abhorred leprosy. It was interpreted as being cursed by God. Healings were rare and considered as difficult as raising the dead. If you want to study more about what the Old Testament has to say, you can look at Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Leviticus brought physical ravages, ritual uncleanness, exclusion and isolation from society. Leprosy was an illustration of the uncleanness and separation that sin produces. It shows how repulsive sin is to God. The plight of the leper is described by Alfred Edersheim in J. Dwight Pentecost's book mentioned earlier, where we read this, the treatment a leper received is described by Edersheim. One might have expected that divine compassion would have been extended to those who bore such heavy burden of their sins. Instead of this, their burdens were needlessly increased. True, as wrapped in mourner's garb, the leper passed by. His cry, unclean, was to incite others to pray for him, but also to avoid him. No one was even to salute him. His bed was to be low, inclining toward the ground. If he even put his head into a place, it became unclean. No less a distance than 4 cubits or 6 feet must be kept from a leper, or if the wind comes from that direction, 100 were scarcely sufficient. Rabbi Meir would not eat an egg purchased in a street where there was a leper. Another rabbi boasted that he always threw stones at them to keep them far off, while others hid themselves or ran away. To such extent did rabbiism carry its inhuman logic in considering the leper as a mourner, and it even forbade him to wash his face. What a plight that of the leper. The leper had to live outside of walled towns, wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt or disheveled, had to cover the lower part of his face, and had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," when others came nearby. In our passage, we read that the leper approaches Jesus. What he was doing was violating the law. He had no right to speak to Jesus. We read in verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him, that's Jesus, on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Luke chapter 5, the parallel passage, tells us he was covered with leprosy. He fell with his face to the ground. The parallel passage in Matthew 8 tells us that he knelt before Jesus. As one writer said, he came without presumption and without doubting, without presumption in that he said, "If you are willing," and without doubting by saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He would not have dared approach a rabbi. He would have fled from a rabbi, but he approached Jesus. What made him think that Jesus would not act in the same way? He no doubt had heard of Jesus' teaching, of his healing, of his absolute power and authority, and above all, of his compassion. He was helpless and he was hopeless from a life of despair and disappointment and loneliness and isolation, and that is just the person that our Savior helps. He cried out to one who loved the unlovely. He cried out to one who gave hope to the hopeless, and he made his request, "Make me clean." Ceremonially clean, yes. Physically clean, yes. Jesus' response, we read that, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus' response was compassion, which means having deep pity. He touched the man. He touched the untouchable. As I thought about this passage, I thought about Edersheim's description of how the rabbis would throw stones at lepers to keep them away. But I see our Savior who touched a leper, the untouchable, and I wondered, would I throw rocks or would I touch the untouchable? According to the Mosaic law, that defiled Jesus. But Jesus transcends the law. He is greater than the law. Jesus puts love and compassion over ritual and regulation. The healing was immediate and complete. Larry Richards says this, "Each of us will naturally be drawn to some and feel less immediate affection for others. But we Christians are called to love as Jesus loved. We are to reach out to the unlovely as well as to the attractive. We are to abandon favoritism in favor of a warm, loving concern for all." J. Vernon McGee really brings home this man's situation when he says this, "This man hadn't been touched in many years, nor had he been able to touch anyone. I imagine his family brought out the food and drink for him, left it, and after they had retired, he would come up and get it. He probably could wave to them, but he could never come to them again, never hold them in his arms, never touch them. A hospital visitor saw a nurse tending to the sores of a leprosy patient and said, "I'd never do that for $1 million. The nurse answered, "Neither would I, but I do it for Jesus for nothing." Leprosy is a picture of sin, Warren Wiersbe said. Like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. It spreads, it defiles and isolates, and it renders things fit only for the time. Anyone who has never trusted the Savior is spiritually in worse shape than this man was physically. Well, we see that Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning in verse 43. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. We learn several things about our Savior. Jesus offers compassion to those who are without hope and rejected by others. Jesus offers hope to those without hope. He is approachable and he is powerful enough to meet the deepest needs. Leprosy is an illustration of sin, in that sin corrupts completely, wreaks physical, mental, and social anguish, makes us unclean, and separates us from God. Whatever you need this morning, if you feel helpless and hopeless, I urge you to trust the Savior. I urge you to put your life into the hands of Jesus Christ. To unbelievers, I ask you to trust Jesus as your Savior. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we read, "Yet to all who received him," that's Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." If you're helpless and hopeless this morning, and you are already a believer in Jesus Christ, I offer you the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. "His grace is sufficient for us, and his power is made perfect in our weakness."